He's getting things ready, and he went over here and he took a book and was either going to start singing or leading us singing or was preaching. I don't know why, but it was an encouragement for his grandfather, and certainly we'll pray that he will be more willing to do these things than his grandfather is. I'm going to read part of an article that was taken from the Atlantic City Post, Saturday, March 11th, 1989. And as we read part of this article and make mention of those that are mentioned in the article, certainly it is our prayer that these men, these learned men, may see things in the light of what the Scripture presents them. And I'm not here to pass judgment or any of that. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has been given that authority and he will do it righteously. But I'm reading part of it because I realize that we're in the last days and perilous times are coming. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, just casually. But it's an article that I couldn't seem to get myself away from as far as being kind of upset with it. It's a Bible scholar's doubt Christ's promised return to the earth. And it says, Sumonia, California, a group of 30 biblical scholars assessing the most likely teaching of the historical Jesus agreed overwhelmingly last week that he did not say that he would return to earth and usher in a new age. Predictions of a second coming were put on Jesus' lips by the later followers and gospel writers, according to the Jesus Seminar, a controversial but academically mainstream group that has involved more than 100 scholars at one time or another in twice yearly voting sessions. Then we'll skip part of it. Seminar leaders admit that they want to be provocative in order to publicize what they feel are standard modern interpretations and thus offset what they see as unsophisticated Bible teaching by television preachers and others. To the proposition Jesus expected to return as the Son of Man and usher in a new age, 26 of these 30 participants said they strongly disagreed. Two said they disagreed and two said they agreed. And like I said, I don't want to be taken up with the whole article, but I did want to read this little part in it. And it says, most evangelical leaders, evangelist Billy Graham included, assume that Jesus is close, return is close, but they set no dates. And I don't know if this is an article that we can, that is authored over or what, but, I was struck by the fact that that Billy Graham and the evangelicals assume, well, they don't assume this, they believe it. And they believe that the Lord is coming. And then, not any has any connection, but as I'm saying, we're in the last days and we need to be reminded and be encouraged from the Word of God. I heard last week, has nothing to do with the article. In fact, it's away from it. That the fastest growing, I'm not sure if it said the fastest growing religion in the world or the fastest growing religion in the United States is Satanism, the worship of Satan. Can you imagine that? That people are worshiping the enemy of their souls. It's a frightening thing. And I think we need to be encouraged and be guided and comforted upon the Scriptures for guidance. And as we see these days coming upon us. And first of all, when I first read the article, I felt a little bit like Peter in John 18. And I'll read verse 2, John 18, verse 2. And Jesus also, which betrayed him, knew the place where Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh together thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. We want to remember that word, weapons. Then the verse 10, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And I think it sometimes that we possibly try to, that Satan certainly tries to upset us in these things that we hear and read about that are not true about our Lord Jesus Christ. And I never saw it before, I don't think, in this way, but in that verse 3 it says that they had weapons. And I was wondering why Simon Peter, being a fisherman, had a sword. But now I think I know that he was going to defend the Lord with his sword. He loved the Lord so much he was going to die for him or kill those it was going to come and take him by force. But the Lord says in verse 11 to Simon Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, but the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So we see that we're not to do, to take these things in our own hands and fight them in this human element. We're to recognize them, and we're to be before God and be driven to His Word for guidance and help. I think we can be occupied with things that we know are going to come upon us in these last days. And I think Satan can take these things, and even things that are good and wholesome, and have us occupied with these things and take us away from the Word of God and from the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thinking about the article, I was thinking too of Ephesians 4:11-16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I was thinking how wonderful it was that the Lord didn't include in these gifts to the church, these gifts that were given, scholars. And I'm not condemning scholars, because we have many godly scholars that have helped us in many ways and been a practical help to us too. And so we would not condemn somebody because they have the knowledge and the scholars in the Word of God, and they hold fast to things that are true. And I believe that articles like this too can cause much confusion. I think that Satan is using things of this nature to confused Christians, and especially the young Christians. They're not founded in the Word of God. And I think they need to be encouraged what God says in His Word and what is true. Okay. The Lord is the Son of Man. Let's turn to John chapter 3. This article said that these men say that he's not. The Lord is the Son of Man. John chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We'll also read John 5, 26 and 27. John 5, 26 and 27. For as the Father hath given life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have eternal life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. First of all, we see that the Lord came down as the Son of Man, and then he was lifted up as the Son of Man. He was crucified there on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world, for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. And then we see that he ascended up as the Son of Man in these verses. And then, too, that he will execute judgment as the Son of Man. The Lord designated himself as the Son of Man about 80 times in the Bible. And the writers didn't call him the Son of Man. He makes mention of himself as such. It is his racial name as representative man. And we can see that in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 47. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 47. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is the man of earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord of heaven. He is also the spoken of as the Son of David, or son of David, and he's his Jewish name, and he's also spoken as the Son of God, his divine name. Now I'd like to go to Luke 12:22. Luke 12, verse 22. Sorry, 17, 22. The Lord is foretelling his second coming and judgment. And he said unto the disciples, the day will come, days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them that follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part of under heaven shineth unto another part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives and were given in marriage until that day came. Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they did drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And then it tells us down later, further in the scripture there, in that particular chapter in John or Luke, that two would be in a bed, two would be in a field, and so on. And the prior to revelations that we have here of Noah and Lot are put here so that we understand what these verses mean, and that these will, there will be one that will be taken for judgment, the other will be left for blessing. Because Noah was left for blessing, and the earth was judged by water, and Lot the same way. Lot was left, but they were all, it says all, and it's destroyed them all. Fire and brimstone came down from heaven and destroyed them all. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ in this time will be the Son of Man, be considered as the Son of Man. Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And we know that this was written to young Timothy, but this is also true for us in this day. And we ought to be aware of the fact that we are in the last days. And I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul went through some of these sorrows when he was even here on the earth. And I'd like to look at that. And it's in 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 15. 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 15. Probably 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. Let's see. Second Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that, as a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then also in 2 Timothy 4, 10 to 18. The apostle was writing to Timothy, and he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, and having loved this present world, and departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." And I'm sure that the Lord will do this with those that are bringing in false things that are not from himself in the time when he judges. Of whom thou be, aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might fear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul was left pretty much to himself, wasn't he? And yet he had the word of God. He had God, the Lord Jesus, with him to comfort him in these trying days that he went through. And then I thought, how can we be encouraged in times like we live in? How can we be encouraged? We certainly are driven to the scriptures for that. And I was thinking that in 1 Thessalonians 3:8, it tells us to stand fast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:8. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. And certainly we have new life. We were thinking about the Lord this morning in resurrection life. And he has given that life to us. And certainly we're thankful for that. And then stand fast in the faith. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 16:13. And then 2 Timothy 2:19, we're to stand fast together, striving together with one mind, one spirit, one mind. We'll read that. 2 Timothy 2:19. And that's not the verse, but we're supposed to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then it goes on to say that in the great house there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And it's like the parable of the wheat and the tares. They grow up together. And so we have to be encouraged that the Lord has... These things are coming as a surprise to our Lord Jesus Christ. He had the apostles write these warnings and helps for us as we live in these last days. And I was thinking in 2 Timothy, or in Titus 2, verse 13 and 15, or 2 through 15. Titus 2, 13 and 15, in Titus 2. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, ours is not in the original, a Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a pure, peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So we are to be looking for that blessed hope when the Lord will come. And I was thinking that back in that portion we looked at when Noah and Lot, there's a verse there maybe we better go back there for a second. Luke 17, I'll just read the verse. The verse 22 and 23. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they said, and shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. And that's speaking of a Jew might be expecting the Messiah to come, and he might look here and he might look there. But it's not to us. we are expecting the Lord to come in the air, in the clouds, to receive us. And so that pertains to the day of the Lord in that particular scripture. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Second Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me of many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach thee others also. I think it's a marvelous thing here that the apostle is committing these things to a young brother, and he was to commit them to faithful men, which could be older. So we see that, and we're thankful for faithful men that are able to teach and to instruct us in the Word of God. And might we, may the Lord raise up those that are able to do this in these last days. 2 Peter 3:18. These were words, I hope, to encourage us as we see these terrible times coming upon us, and they'll be all headed up in the one that will come and say that he is God, and God will send strong delusion, and that they will believe a lie. Second Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's to him that we want the glory be both now and forever. Amen. 1 John 2:18 to 28. First John 2:18. Little children, this is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, is Antichrist, that denieth that the Father and the Son? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacher teaches to you all things and is truth, and he is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What a blessing it is to have the Spirit of God as our teacher and as our comforter as we read the scriptures and as we are meditating upon them. And we don't have to be educated in the world's system in order to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then again, I want to mention that it's not that we shouldn't have knowledge and even be a scholar. But I'm afraid that there's those that are leading many astray because of the knowledge that they've received amongst each other. I was thinking about this word Antichrist. And Antichrist is the putting of man in the place of God and his Christ. Self-worship, humanism, and the saints need to be warned against this now more than ever before, I believe, as we see the evil days coming upon us. And I was even thinking about God's creation as I thought about this and as I read. And I'm for one, enjoy the creation that's all about us and how that God has made so much for us to enjoy in this world. And yet, because of sin, man is contaminating the water and the air. They're throwing trash everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. And then I thought, well, we're to be concerned about this, yes, but we're not to let it become our lifestyle, so to speak, or be involved in it to the point where we neglect the Word of God or that the devil, I think the devil can use these things too to confuse us and to lead us away from the scriptures. And it is a wonderful thing as we enjoy all that God has provided for us, and we see the flowers coming up now, and just how he protects the little birds and feeds them and all these things, and make God so wonderful, I think, to us. And there's some, and many people are fighting for these things, and yet they do not believe in the Creator, the one that has brought these things about. But I was thinking that we must pray for those that are in authority, that they may be encouraged to dispel these things. I mean, we enjoy them, and we certainly don't want to have to drink contaminated water and things of this nature. But I think it's a result of sin, the result of the last days. Certainly the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is near, and he's coming not to the earth, he's for us. He's coming in the cloud. And it's comforting to know that he's coming and that we will be with him and like him forever. That's David asked me what I was going to speak to this morning about. I said, well, I don't think I'm going to be speaking on the resurrection. I said to him that I believe that we are reminded of the resurrection every Lord's Day. And as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, and if he hadn't arisen from the dead, then our faith would be vain. We'd be still in our sins, wouldn't we? So we're thankful that the Lord arose from the dead, that he's ascended as man, the perfect man, to the Father's right hand, and he's there waiting for that last one to be saved, the last member of the body of Christ, the church. And so our desire that we might pray that the gospel today, especially when we go out by these buildings that are called churches and we see so many, many people there, and they're thinking and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm afraid that so many of them do not know him as a Savior God. And so may it be that we are not in the place of judgment or condemning these people, but that we might be on our knees praying that they may be turned to the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, and know him in a true way. Not just know him as a person that, as this article says, historical Jesus. That upset me pretty much too. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, he was, there's history to the fact that he came, but I wouldn't want to say that that he was a historical Jesus. He's my Savior, my Lord. I thank the Lord for this and pray that as we see these terrible times coming, certainly the return of the Lord is very near, and we will be taken from this scene, and he is the one that will be here as judge, as the Son of Man. He is in the glory as a man. He's coming as a man. We know him as a man, the man Christ Jesus. He's not only man, but if they're going to deny him that he's the Son of Man, I suppose that they might even say he's not the Son of God eventually, but I don't know that. But we should be encouraged and helped as we study and as we try to hold fast the truth in the Word of God.